You're with Shannon Joy on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
I am Shannon Joy. Welcome to the Shannon Joy Show live here on TNT Radio. Let's get to it, the good, the bad, and the ugly today. We are in extraordinary times, and it has been a good day for Team Reality. There are wins out there. And an interesting phenomenon about the times that we live in today, we necessarily have to go through the suffering. We necessarily, I suppose, need to have the bad stuff in order for us to get into a position where we can see the truth. And it's good that the truth is coming out. It's good that people are waking up. That's good. What is bad is what necessarily is happening to innocent people at the hands of these COVID fascists, these megalomaniac lunatics. It's very tragic. But there are wins out there. Let's start with Leah Thomas. For those of you across the pond, Leah Thomas is United States swimmer, and her dreams of crushing biologically female swimmers. She is a biological male, identifies as a female, and she's been crushing the dreams of collegiate swimmers, NCAA here in the States, for quite some time. If you see her on the podium, she's like twice the size of her competition. And apparently her dreams have now been crushed themselves by FINA. This is the World Swimming Government governing body. And they have essentially, for all intents and purposes, banned transgender swimmers from competing. And they are the governing body that would govern the Olympic competition. And Leah Thomas has indicated that she would love to crush biologically female swimmers for Olympic gold. And that's just not going to happen. This is from Budapest, Hungary, from the Associated Press. World Swimming Governing Body has effectively banned transgender women from competing in women's events starting on Monday. They are saying that the scientists are saying it. They looked at all the evidence. And if you transition after the start of puberty, you have an advantage, which is unfair to women. There we go. This is excellent, excellent news. And I think perhaps a canary in the coal mine in this tangled issue of biological men destroying women in sporting competitions across the globe. And so let's notch that as a win. Now, this from the leaders of the Tennessee House of Representatives. This is the first of its kind that we have seen from a legislative body in the United States of America acknowledging potential dangers involved with vaccinating young children under the age of 5. This is unbelievable. This is unprecedented. We haven't been able to get bodies of legislators to move in this direction in the past 2 decades when it comes to vaccines. We have not been able to get any movement whatsoever. But the scrutiny now placed on the COVID-19 vaccines, because they were rolled out so quickly and because everybody is watching what is happening, it has now placed scrutiny on vaccines in general. That's a good thing. It's really bad that people are getting sick and dying from the mRNA toxic jabs. That's a very bad thing, and it's a tragic thing, but it is necessarily contributing to the awakening, the acknowledgement. People can't ignore it when it's right in front of their faces. This is from Daniel Horowitz over at The Blaze. It looks like Florida won't be alone in standing for the Nuremberg Code on human experimentation, at least if the Tennessee House leadership have their say. It was widely reported last week that every state other than Florida purchased millions of doses of baby and toddler shots from the federal government, both Pfizer and Moderna, and immediately began injecting them into crying babies. And the videos are all over Twitter. Their marketing campaign is abysmal. It's awful. These parents are just so ignorant. I feel terribly for them. I feel terribly for their children. So ignorant. While Florida was the only state to recommend against the shot, we reported that to you last week, America is amazingly the only country to recommend for them. And isn't that so interesting? America probably has the largest, one of the largest populations of unvaccinated citizens in Western democracy, in Western democracies. Yet they are continuing to push them, even as countries like Europe and even Australia are beginning to acknowledge through payouts from the vaccine compensation funds to individuals. There are a couple of videos from the UK that indicate it is filtering out into the mainstream media. They're having to discuss it. We haven't gotten there yet here in the US, but we still have this large population of people who have not been vaccinated. Even Israel, which was Pfizer's laboratory, has not pursued vaccination for those under five. So where are the other 20 or so red states? Where are the rhinos? Where are the Republicans? This is the problem we've been talking about for so many years. Yeah, the Democrats are vicious. They're awful. They're fascists. And they will tell you to your face what they plan on doing. But the Republicans as an opposition party are completely useless. And whether it's on purpose or they're just plain dumb, it doesn't really matter. The outcome speaks for itself. The Republicans have been awful. But it looks like in Tennessee, they're beginning to wake up. On Tuesday, Tennessee State Rep. Jason Zachary of Knoxville penned a letter to Governor Bill Lee asking him to essentially follow the example of Florida's health department and recommend against the shots. This was sent on June 21st. I have the letter here right in my hands on June 17. The U.S. Food and Drug Administration, and this was signed by the leadership of the House of Representatives in the state of Tennessee, Jason Zachary, Cameron Sexton, William Lamberth, and Jeremy Faison. And if the leadership is signing off on this, this means that this has wide approval by the entire governing body. And this is directly from the letter. This is amazing. On June 17th, the U.S. Food and Drug Administration granted amended, quote, emergency approval of the COVID-19 vaccine for children 4 years to 6 months old. This amended, quote, emergency approval lacks transparency and has created many concerning questions. Some of the most basic concerns and questions are simply as follows. And it is very basic. And this is what we have been saying, those of us who are on the front lines of this, those who were looking into vaccine safety and efficacy for almost a decade, but specifically right at the rollout of the COVID-19 vaccines, people were screaming this, not just for children between the ages of 6 months and 4 years old, but for every adult, every human, every soul out there. But here are their questions specifically regarding these trials for the children. Why did only 2/3 of the 4,526 children recruited by the FDA not complete the trial? Was their data thrown out to fit a predetermined conclusion? Yeah, I think so. Why was the trial not able to show a reduction in severe illness among those vaccinated? Point three, the FDA's own risk-benefit assessment showed a 30% increase chance of contracting COVID-19 in children vaccinated after the first dose compared to those in the placebo group. Why was this overlooked? Why was approval granted when the manufacturer's own trial shows zero benefit to children? And this is what I was talking about earlier in the week. If you watch the video, if you watch the public hearing and you watch the testimony and the presentation of the clinical trial data to the board that recommended for this shot, you will see they admit, I mean, it's right there with two middle fingers to every American and every parent. They know this is worthless. It's useless. And Alex Berenson, I think, has the keenest insight as to why the FDA finally approved this, even while acknowledging there is zero benefit to children. And along with zero benefit to children, no data related to the long-term impact of the mRNA vaccine on children who are not at risk for serious illness or death unless they are significantly immunocompromised. Not to mention the short-term adverse events reported among children at the vaccine adverse event reporting system. So why, under the weight of all of that very blatant evidence so blatant that Governor Ron DeSantis and his Surgeon General recommended in the state of Florida against it. So blatant was this information during those panel hearings that it convinced an entire body, the entire Tennessee House of Representatives, to collectively pen a letter to their governor and say, stop this now. That is how blatant their fraud is. And Alex Berenson, I think, has the idea. I think he has the right idea as to why this is happening, why the FDA is doing this. And it is because the media propaganda, government officials, Anthony Fauci, they have so traumatized a subset of American parents, woke leftists, people with the Ukraine banner in their profile on Facebook, people with the double masks on or the triple masks, people who have been triple jabbed, double jabbed, the people all in, the cult members, the true believers living in urban centers across the country. They have destroyed their children's lives. They will not let their kids out of their buildings. They haven't seen family and friends for months. These people still exist. They're still out there. And they are begging. They're going to their legislative officials. They're putting pressure on the FDA. They want this for the children so that they can give it to the children because they truly believe it will save them. And then they can have their lives back. And Berenson thought there was just too much pressure from that subset. They're all very political too, politically connected, true believers, full buy-in. Because we know from the data in the surveys that the vast majority of parents of children under the age of 5 years are not going to get their children vaccinated with the COVID-19 mRNA toxic jabs. And that is what the data is saying. That is what the studies are saying, the polling. Which is also great news. It's also great news. It means that things are starting to fire in the brain, right? In that frontal lobe, right? People are starting to question. They're like, I don't know. Maybe this isn't the best idea for my kid. Seeing that I was sick as a dog, hospitalized, half my face is paralyzed. I have shingles. I had to go to the emergency room after my first and second and third shots. Maybe I won't do that to my kid. They go on in the letter to Governor Lee, who, by the way, is a Republican. He's terrible, terrible. Many questions beyond what have been listed within this letter remain unanswered. Similar concerns are being raised by some of the nation's leading experts. This is more good news. This is more good news. We have experts and leaders across the country who were too chicken to come out. They needed Dr. Robert Malone to do it first and Dr. McCullough to do it. And they needed a growing body of tens of thousands of medical doctors and nurse practitioners and scientists and researchers to provide all of this information for them. They needed all of that before they came out. But guess what? They're coming out because courage is contagious. And when you hit a tipping point, when you hit a point that there are more and more people out there saying this, it gives cover to people who are previously afraid to say anything. And so now you have in this letter some of the nation's leading experts, such as Dr. Vinay Prasad of the University of California, San Francisco, Dr. Marty Makary of Johns Hopkins University, and Dr. Joseph Lapido, the Florida Surgeon General. Governor, they say. Governor Lee. The COVID-19 emergency has long passed in Tennessee, and they are asking for some specifics. We ask that you direct the Tennessee Department of Health to halt distribution, promotion, or recommendation of COVID-19 vaccines for our youngest Tennesseans. Amen. Bravo. Let's go. We simply cannot recommend injecting an mRNA vaccine into children who have never been at serious risk from death or hospitalization from COVID-19. We do not know the short-term or long-term impact of their development and overall health. And as always, parents should seek consultation and recommendation from their family pediatrician about what is best for their child's health. This is an unbelievable document. This is unprecedented. We haven't gotten this far in the United States of America with an entire body, an entire legislative body, admitting and addressing the issue of vaccine safety. Vaccine safety. Adverse events. They only talk about long-term here, but we're very close to getting to the short-term adverse impact. This is a huge deal, and it's great news. We'll be back in a moment right here on TNT Radio.
We're the pinup boys and poster girls for free speech. We just don't look as impressive as Vladimir Putin shirtless on a horse. Yeah. 24/7, 365, we never stop sifting fact from fiction, misinformation from the truth. From government overreach to the latest on mandates, big tech censorship to propaganda gone mad. Listen to TNT Radio and get the news and views direct from our expert presenters and commentators anywhere you go. Ask Alexa or Google to play TNT Radio or download the TNT Radio app for free from the App Store or Google Play. Today's news talk. This is TNT Radio.
St. Joseph's Indian School is much more than a school for Native American children.
It's like a family. Classes are fun here. I am learning about my culture.
Since 1927, St. Joseph's Indian School has provided children the education, health care, and support they need to succeed. To help give our kids brighter futures, learn more at stjo.org today.
Join the pink frilly tutus.
Join the walkers, the joggers, the runners.
Join the people remembering friends, family, loved ones.
Join the kids, the mothers, the grannies.
Join those who are living with cancer.
Join those who have beaten it.
Join the most fantastic day.
Join the 5 and 10K events making a difference in the fight to beat cancer.
Join the girls this summer at Tesco and Cancer Research UK's Race for Life. Join now. Find an event near you at raceforlife.org.
In 2018, 2.9 million people died of the flu and pneumonia. In 2020, there was a 98% decline in influenza, but 2.8 million die of COVID. Data never lies. We mandate that the truth be told. TNT Radio.
And I am Shannon Joy. This is TNT Radio, broadcasting from the Joy Virtual Studio in beautiful Western New York. So glad to be with all of you tonight. It's been a good day. It's been a good day for me. I enjoy Leah Thomas, by the way, that 6'7" massive biologically male swimmer who puts on the bathing suit and crushes the girls in those swimming competitions, the NCAA, and was just, I mean, smacked down hard by the governing body for the Olympics. So the Olympic dreams for Leah Thomas are apparently not in the cards. And I don't know. It makes my day. Because Leah Thomas is just not a nice person. Leah Thomas is a bully. Leah Thomas is a cheater. And Leah Thomas also doesn't really try that hard to be all of that female. It's almost like she's throwing it in people's faces. The rumors in the States from anonymous sources, but women on the swimming team, are that Leah Thomas dates women, number one, and that Leah Thomas also walks around the locker room after swimming meets with her junk hanging out and in the girls' faces, and it makes them very uncomfortable. And so I don't like Leah Thomas. I don't care about the transgender thing. Live your life. I just don't care. Have 27 pronouns. Change them every couple weeks. I don't care. I really do not care how you live your life. I really don't. I really don't. But come after women and make them uncomfortable in their spaces. Oh, I have a problem with you. I have a big problem with you. You're just not a nice person. And I'm gonna leave it at that. So I am really satisfied. This is delicious. This New York Post article about Leah Thomas being banned by FINA, which is the World Swimming's governing body, from competing in international swimming competitions, including the Olympics. Hopefully that'll stick. And then also this great letter we mentioned in the last segment from the entire House of Representatives, leadership signed the letter to Governor Lee telling him, hey, we want you to do what Governor DeSantis is doing down in Florida. And we want you to recommend against the COVID-19 vaccine for children because we don't know if it's safe. It's amazing to me how hard we have had to work for the past 7 years to get elected government officials like DeSantis, like the Florida Surgeon General, and now the entire body of the Tennessee legislature, House of Representatives, to collectively ask the questions about vaccine safety. These are the questions that advocates like RFK Jr. and the folks over at Children's Health Defense and Sherry Tenpenny. These are the questions that the vaccine injured, the parents of vaccine injured children over the past two decades have been asking. Why can't we talk about this? Why can't we study this? Why can't we look into this? Why can't we even acknowledge it? Every vaccine, every medical intervention necessarily comes with risk. And where there is risk, there must be choice. And they have been taking those choices away from us. And this COVID-19 experiment and the vaccine as the savior of the world for COVID-19 has now begun to push that question into the fore. And that is excellent. That is excellent news. And we need to continue it. This is because of your voices. This is because of courageous people who have refused to back down. This is because of those of you who have resisted the vaccine, those of you who have lost friends, you've lost families, you've lost jobs. Here in the States, my own sister and my own mother both lost their jobs. My mom was a nurse, 25 years, Highland Hospital, out the door. My sister worked remotely for a college university as their accountant. She didn't even come into the office. They threw her out the door because of her vaccine status. They're both better off now. But it is the people who refuse to comply and who continue to resist, even though they were hammered incessantly and persecuted, discriminated against across the globe. This is why we are beginning to gain momentum. It is wonderful to watch. It is tragic to watch what is happening to the other side, those who are so ignorant, those who have been so propagandized, those who have been so manipulated, many of them vicious to those of us who tried to warn them. But it doesn't lessen the tragedy. It's not great news for the victims of the COVID fascists and the victims of these vicious pharmaceutical corporations. SADS is on the rampage, sudden adult death syndrome. It is a term, I'm sure I didn't coin it or bring it up, but I feel like I invented it in my own mind. I'd never heard of it before 18 months ago. And I said, you just watch. All of a sudden, after we had the expansion of the childhood vaccine schedule well over a decade ago, going from 3 shots to 100 shots for a child by the time they turn 18 years old here in the United States of America, and forcing kids to get shots as a condition for entering public school. So hundreds of millions of children, because of those policies, parents being told your kid can't come to school, you can't come to daycare unless you're vaccinated. So they just bring the kids in, they load them up like a pincushion. And it was right around that time that all of a sudden infant death syndrome. Well, I'll be. These kids are just up and dropping dead. Healthy, perfect little babies. All of a sudden, just dying out of nowhere. Sudden infant death syndromes. They won't even look at it. And to this day, and I said, you know what? They're gonna invent a new thing: sudden adult death syndrome, where adults just drop dead out of nowhere. And I'll never forget a mother who came up to me many, many years ago at one of our events when we were spreading the word about vaccine safety and informed consent pre-COVID-19. And she came up to me and she said, thank you so much for everything you're doing. And we had a nice conversation. And she told me her tragic story, which was her perfectly healthy, perfect young little infant baby went in for routine vaccination at 6 months and died hours later. They called it SIDS, sudden infant death syndrome. And she said to me, she knew immediately. The moment the injection went into the body of her child, she knew. And they insisted it was sudden infant death syndrome. They had no idea why. The baby was perfectly healthy. And she said to me, she said, Shannon, healthy babies don't just die. And I'll never forget it. Healthy babies don't just die. We've been conditioned to think that this is normal. That this is just something that happens. It is not. You have to resist that. You have to fight against that narrative every day. It's so bad. I mean, I did a little search on Twitter. I searched sudden death. And you wouldn't believe the number, dozens and dozens and dozens of stories just in the past couple weeks, a lot of high profile stories. Jack Wagner's son, he's a famous soap opera star here in the States. His son, Harrison, 27 years old, healthy, died suddenly out of nowhere, was found in an LA parking lot. X Factor star, Tom Mann, he is now mourning after the sudden death of his fiance, 34 years old, perfectly healthy, on the night of their wedding. She drops dead. A healthy Baltimore Ravens Super Bowl champ, Tony Siragusa, just in the past couple hours, it's reported, dead at 55. He was healthy. Members of the Baltimore Ravens are shocked and heartbroken at the sudden passing of Tony Siragusa, out of nowhere, just drops dead. Also, current, this is unbelievable, within hours of each other, a current Ravens defensive player, Jalen Ferguson, in his 20s, drops dead. These two guys, both members of the Baltimore Ravens organization, big football club here in the States, drop dead within hours of each other. It's unbelievable. Gia Pastione, she's a famous, super famous TikTok star, suddenly dies at age 19. Her family is mourning the shocking passing of their otherwise healthy daughter. This doesn't just happen, guys. Healthy people don't just drop dead. And the kids all over the internet. Justin Rael, 12 years old. Family is mourning. He died unexpectedly in his sleep. And I have heard all of the anecdotals from my own corner of the world. In fact, speaking of neighbors who have canceled you because of your beliefs about masking or vaccines, you guys probably don't know this because I wasn't with you as a radio host in the early days of COVID, but I was raging against the COVID fascism. I never wore a mask. I had a platform here in New York State and a large radio station here in Rochester. And every day I would come on the radio, and I will tell you, the way that I sound tonight is exactly the way that I sounded 24 months ago. The onset took me about 3 weeks to figure out what was going on with COVID-19, along with people like Alex Berenson, Daniel Horowitz, and a few others. Gummy Bear on Twitter, I don't know if you guys follow him. Aaron Ginn was amazing. cat turd. I know these people, but you know, their Twitter handles. There were just a precious few of us in those early days who were really looking at the data and really questioning all of the narratives. And, you know, in those early days, because of my outspoken, because I refused to wear a mask, everybody knew about it. We basically, I mean, I lost a ton of friends right in my own neighborhood. And I was canceled by friend groups and, you know, you don't have to cry me a river. I'm a big girl. I knew the consequences. I said to my husband, I'll never forget. It was when Andrew Cuomo here in New York State issued the statewide mask mandate. And I said to my husband, and I went on the air that night and I said, listen to me, you can go back decades. There are hundreds of studies looking at masks and airborne aerosolized viruses. And every one of them, the science and the data is very clear. I had a doctor on my program. He said, Shannon, it is like the virus is so tiny. Wearing a mask is like dumping rice through chicken wire. It's absurd and insane. Never for a moment, because we had the data. But I said to my husband, I said, I don't care, you know, if we lose all of our friends, if I lose this show, if I lose all of my advertisers, I do not care. This is my boundary. I am not wearing a mask, period. I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. And I didn't. For the most part, I was one of the only people in New York State. Occasionally I would for an event that involved my children. And if I was at a loved one or a friend's business establishment to, you know, keep them out of trouble, but very, very, very rare that I would ever wear a mask. And that, I mean, it led to a lot of neighbors and a lot of friends being really mad at me. And just the other day, it's interesting, one of my neighbors that I have not talked to in almost 2 years because of my stance came over. She stopped her car. I'm on the front porch. I'm prepping for my show, my little village home on the canal here in upstate New York. And I'm clacking away on my computer and she stops the car. She pulls out of her driveway and she's driving by me. She slows down, stops the car, gets out of her car, comes over and is like, hey, how you doing? Oh, it's so good to see you. How have you been? Like a little sheepish, you know? And I don't know what's going on. And I don't know what she really wanted to talk about, but she asked me how I was doing. And I said, oh, fantastic. Everyone is healthy. We are doing great. The show is doing great. The business is doing great. Devastatingly handsome. You know, we're just kind of giving small talk. And so I asked her how she's doing. And she's like, oh, we're just really struggling. We've had so many health issues and so many funerals. I don't know what's going on. And she was just kind of, and I'm not going to say a word. Okay. I'm not going to say a word. I've learned my lesson with all of this. So I'm just nodding along like wide-eyed, like, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry to hear that. I mean, these are the ones on Facebook with the vaccine card. I'm triple jabbed. And it was just a very interesting exchange. A very interesting exchange. But so we're seeing, you know, this, the dropping dead, the funerals, the illnesses. We have the stories nationally and internationally. We have the VAERS reporting, the data that just continues to pile up. We have our anecdotal stories. You have your own anecdotal stories. You know that you're talking to your neighbors and your friends and your family, and you're seeing with your own eyes every type of evidence that we need to acknowledge the 800-pound gorilla in the room is at our fingertips. And we also have metadata. I can't believe I missed this. I didn't miss it. I did report on it, but briefly in March of 2022, Edward Dowd, who I really want to get on this program, anyone who can help me out with that would be so appreciated. I really would love to talk to Edward Dowd about some of the predictions that he is making, but this was from March of 22. The millennial generation experienced 61,000 excess deaths in the second half of 2021 in the United States of America. Edward Dowd reported CDC data. So what he did is he got together with a couple researchers and they looked at CDC data. They looked at fatality rates and mortality, and you can get that data. And they got it. And they went through it with a fine-tooth comb. And it shows that the millennial generation suffered a Vietnam War type event with more than 61,000 excess deaths in that age group in the second half of 2021. Not in the spring of 2021, not in the early summer of 2021, but in the fall of 2021 and winter. What did that coincide with? It coincided with the FDA approval of the COVID-19 vaccines for young people and the rollout of the vaccine campaign, the mRNA vaccine campaign. This is according to analyst or an analysis by former Wall Street executive who made a career crunching numbers at BlackRock. And that is Edward Dowd. Millennials about ages 25 to 40 experienced an 84% increase in excess mortality in the fall, he said, describing it as the worst ever excess mortality, I think, ever in history. It was the highest increase in excess deaths of any age group last year, 7 times higher than the silent generation, those who are older than 85. And the increase coincided with vaccine mandates in college campuses and the approval of the booster shots. He said the insurance expert with whom he worked is presenting the data to a financial group. And he had this prediction. It was in March. If you're on Wall Street and you still think Pfizer, Moderna are good buys, I've got news for you. There are some catalysts coming that are probably not going to be good for holding those stocks. He also said he examined the Pfizer clinical trial data provided by whistleblower Brooke Jackson, who's been on this program, concluding that it, in fact, Pfizer had tried to hide it. And he points that to clinical fraud. He also posted tables showing excess mortality for Generation X, ages 41 to 56. Since August, it was 101,000, and excess mortality for baby boomers showing 306,000 excess deaths during the same period. Insane. Insane. All signals, all signs point to a catastrophe. We'll be back in a moment here on TNT Radio.
The Biden administration begs for more oil, at the same time saying we need less oil. Confused? So is the CNN anchor.
From Washington, D.C., this is the Morano Minute with your host, TNT Radio's Mark Morano.
Biden's Energy Secretary Jennifer Granholm demanded oil companies make massive investments to increase supply now, while simultaneously demanding they shut down oil within a decade. Here's the clip.
Are you telling me you want them drilling for more oil? You want the refineries putting out more gasoline in 5 or 10 years?
What we're saying is today we need that supply increased. Of course, in 5 or 10 years, actually in the immediate, we are also pressing on the accelerator, if you will, to move toward clean energies.
Yes, you heard that right. More oil now, less oil now. This passes for logic in the wacky world of the climate agenda. For the Morano Minute, this is Mark Morano on TNT Radio.
I've got muscular dystrophy. That means my muscles are weak and it can be hard to breathe. During COVID-19, kids like me are at a greater risk, but the Muscular Dystrophy Association is here to help.
MDA is what ensures they receive critical medical care at one of over 150 care centers.
COVID-19 won't stop us. Please visit helpmda.org.
So, you support green energy? Ask yourself this. How many native birds were killed by wind turbines today? Protect humanity and stop the green madness. Today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
We are back. I am Shannon Joy. This is the Shannon Joy Show, final segment. Everything running very smoothly, even though we had a bumpy little start to our little radio show today. Thank you to Dave for producing the show tonight. We're looking at the good, the bad, and the ugly. And that really should be the theme of my show every day. The good, the bad, and the ugly. There's so much out there. It's the best of times, the worst of times. And we are in quite the pickle. We are in historic times, unfortunately. History books are being written right now. And there's no putting this genie back in the bottle. As much as most people would like to ignore and hope and pray that we are going to go back to normal, the reality is that we are not. Everything is changing. The question is, in the 21st century, will we be free? Will we be free? Or will the global fascists get away with it? Will they succeed in enslaving humanity using the lies and the propaganda, their organization, their influence in institutions across the globe, specifically Western democracies? Will they win? Well, if we don't do anything, if we continue to stick our head in the sand, if people who know the truth but are afraid to speak it, afraid to activate in their own corner of the world, if they continue to remain silent, then there's a chance they're going to win. I will tell you, if people wake up and acknowledge the truth and stand up and begin to activate and get involved locally in their own communities and pursue localism, it's the antidote to globalism. The antidote to globalism is localism. It is saying to global planners, we don't like your one-size-fits-all plan. We don't really like it. You're trying to put, you know, a square peg in a round hole, and that's just not going to work for us at the local level. So we're going to do our own thing. We have a thing here. It's called the Constitution of the United States of America. And anything in that is not in that Constitution, that is not expressly delegated to the government of the United States of America, well, we're just not going to do it. It's not valid. You have no jurisdiction. You have no jurisdiction. And this is what local governments and local communities and local organizations need to do in tandem, simultaneously, decentralized across the world. And if we do that and simply say no, we will be free. It's as simple as that. People want a big grand plan. They want a big global plan to go up against the globalists, and that's just not the way it's going to work. Because bigger isn't better. And bigger always becomes corrupted. But we can't trust them. We can't trust the institutions, the organ. We know this. We've seen this for 2 years. They're insane. They're insane. Many of them aren't smart. And if we want to survive, we're going to have to figure out how to take care of ourselves at the local level. It doesn't mean we can't share information. It doesn't mean we can't share best practices. We can't help each other and work together. But at the end of the day, these decisions about welfare and healthcare and education and all of those things, they need to be decided at the local level. The federal government and the state governments, quite frankly, need to get the hell out of our way. They need to get the hell out of our way. We can take care of ourselves. And I think a growing body of people are beginning to feel that way. They're beginning to think that way. And that's the good thing. It's a good thing. But there are a lot of barriers. There are a lot of challenges in this. And many of them come from the completely corrupted and decrepit two-party system. People need to understand that in the United States of America, and frankly, as I've been observing from afar some of the politics of Europe, the two-party political system is a complete farce. It is kabuki theater. It is WWE wrestling. Fake fighting. They are not, at least at the leadership level, the people who control everything that happens in any given legislative body, and definitely at the federal level, and definitely at the local level, then the government, I just got distracted there, sorry guys. It's essentially a kabuki theater WWE wrestling match. They're on the same team. And the leadership decides which bills are being taken up and which bills aren't being taken up. They decide the messaging. They make all of the decisions. And even the good ones, even if you have a handful of good Republicans out there, the majority of the party is just a complete joke. And they are the barrier. There is a reason that we cannot defeat Democrats. There's a reason that even when Republicans win, Democrat agendas get pushed forward. Isn't that the craziest thing? Isn't that the craziest thing? Donald Trump wins his election, however many years ago. He goes to Washington, D.C. He gets into the White House. And what does he do? He puts together a bipartisan team of Chuck Schumer, Nancy Pelosi, Mitch McConnell, and Kevin McCarthy. And they come together and they pass bill after bill after bill after bill, bipartisan, exploding the size of the federal government. They didn't get rid of Obamacare. They didn't get a whole lot done on the border, to be quite frank. It's why we have a border invasion right now. There is no wall there, okay? Despite what everyone said, they didn't build a wall. They laid the groundwork for the COVID-19 fascist disaster. And every agenda item, every bill, the funding of Planned Parenthood, the funding of these corrupt education institutions, red flag laws were passed by Republican-led legislatures federally and signed by Donald Trump. In fact, Donald Trump said the infamous quote, we'll pass the bill first for red flag laws and worry about due process later in the seizure and the confiscation of firearms from individuals because their neighbor didn't like the way they cut the lawn, doesn't like their politics. So red flag laws are nothing new. Republicans don't like them now, but they're nothing new. Republicans were passing them as little as 5 years ago, and Donald Trump was signing them, and everyone was clapping. Oh, it's not what you think. It's not what you think. It's exactly what we thought. We couldn't penetrate. We couldn't get any discussion on those during the Trump years. Well, now, during the Biden years, this is almost why I prefer when Democrats are in office, because you can actually have real conversations. But speaking of the ugly, we'll finish the show off from the good, the bad, and the ugly. The ugly, the Republican Party, the backstabbing, treacherous monsters, 17 of them in the United States Senate joined with the Democrats for a bipartisan bill to not only seize your guns unconstitutionally using red flag laws, but to expand the power and the scope of the federal government into every area of your life. And make no mistake, great infographic from Gun Owners of America explaining what happens, what red flags laws really are. And it means that your neighbor, Jane, who is potentially a radical progressive and she hates your politics and everything about your politics, she works at the same company as, say, Randy. And Randy posts things on social media that she doesn't like, political ideas that she doesn't like. And so he also posted a picture of his gun, and radical progressive Jane thought that gun was scary. And so she gets triggered by a scary post and by the content, knowing that Randy recently argued with his boss. Jane reports him to the authorities. These are red flag laws. Then the leftist-controlled police department is forced to ask the court to seize Randy's guns. Randy is unable to defend himself in court because there's no due process, because red flag laws fast track the seizure of guns without any crime being committed or due process. And that's basically what the red flag law is. And the Republicans, and this is why it's time to stop voting Republicans, at least at the federal level. All right, everyone, we are out of time. Thank you so much for listening to the Shannon Joy Show. A little bumpy today, we'll be better tomorrow. Hope you have a good evening. We'll see you here on TNT Radio.